Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Welcome to it. Fridays here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, a busy one on a Friday. I hope you're not too OJ'd out. If so, trust me, you'll want to hang around for this. Longtime confidant, memorabilia dealer, author, How I Helped OJ Get Away with Murder, Mike Gilbert. His reaction to the news yesterday on O.J. Simpson, a Bronco update. Mike Gilbert's going to spend two segments with us and take up most of hour one. So that is 15 minutes away. Pride of Fairbury to talk some Nebraska football, some NBA, some You Freeze. Bill Dolman with us next hour. And then Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine gets us rocking in hour two as well. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. The email, Chris at HailVarsity.com, or the text line, you text Hail to 884-7-4. Busy one today. We'll dive into some Nebraska news because Cleveland Plain Dealer has their preseason pullout. There's no Big Ten Network / Big Ten Conference preseason poll, but the Cleveland.com folks do survey 38 folks around Big Ten country.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to win the West? Who's going to win the East? And who is playing who in the Big Ten championship game, and who's winning the Big Ten championship game. Not a shock here, and we had Coach DiNardo on last week. I think it was last Thursday. And Uncle Jerry is kind of waiting to figure out Nebraska. He'll know more once he sees them in person here come August with the Big Ten bus tour. All of that. But here's how things went down. Maybe you've read it, maybe you've seen it, but we can react to it here for a little bit. And the West has Wisconsin with 31 of the 38 first place votes. Northwestern in its second with 5 first place votes, and Nebraska has 2. Rounding out the West, Iowa in at 4th, Minnesota in at 5th. Now, consensus says Nebraska is anywhere between 2 and 3. Some places have them 4. So I'm not completely shocked by that. But how about the 180 that has happened on Wisconsin? A year ago, they're going to take a fall.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, their two-quarterback system, a new D coordinator.
That schedule's way too brutal.
Right. And I'll say this to Wisconsin. You're nuts. You're crazy playing BYU, and you're nuts and you're crazy playing BYU out there this early in the year. I don't know where else you squeeze them in, but just don't do it. Stay away from BYU. They hurt people. They're always 9-4, and they hurt somebody that's supposed to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So with Nebraska getting 2 votes, does that surprise you? A, that Nebraska got votes, or that Nebraska only got 2 votes? Because, listen, here is my – I will jump up and down and scream about this from an expectation standpoint. If I'm a Nebraska fan, you're not at the point where you're good enough or deep enough or talented enough right now to likely beat Penn State or Ohio State on your schedule. Take a monster effort, play your best football, get some help. It's not that it can't happen. It's just not supposed to happen right now. And if you're going to have a home loss, it needs to be to a team that will vie for a playoff appearance or a national championship. I think you can deal with that, and if it's somewhat close, even better, right? You almost pulled it off. But right now, I have a hard time accepting or seeing, if I'm a Nebraska fan, and I know there's transition, and we'll get into what Jerry said about where Nebraska will be this year. I have a hard time saying that when push comes to shove, Nebraska can't defend its home field. I know they went undefeated last year. I know they had three losses 2 years ago at home.
Well, last year's home schedule was cake. Let's be honest.
No. The point is for the most part, they have not gone unbeaten at home.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost to Minnesota in the past. They've lost to Northwestern. Really should have been twice. Wisconsin's won here. Iowa has won here. So I think you kind of got to eat what's on your plate first. And that is win the West, yes. But go unbeaten at home. Take care of the West at home. You have Wisconsin here. You have Iowa here. You have Northwestern here. They're not going to be easy. They could be nail biters. They could be coin flips. But win at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fair, dare I say, demand.
For sure.
And if you're going to lose a home game, not a lot of places go undefeated anymore. I get that. I mean, even last year's national champs lost at home to Pitt. All right?
Yeah.
Ohio State a couple years ago lost at home to Michigan State. It happens. Teams are good on the road this year. Washington lost at home to USC a year ago. So you don't go undefeated at home anymore, which is fine. But handle your business with the West teams. Because next year, you're on the road against all of them. And Michigan, by the way. It's that cyclical year. Mm-hmm. It's an odd year. So you get them at home, handle it. That's kind of my expectation. And if they do that, then they easily jump up to two. What's going to keep Nebraska, if they win at home, from winning the West is the crossover games. It's Ohio State, it's Penn State, it's Rutgers. Likely, you're going to go 1-2 in those. There's your 9-game conference schedule, and you're 6-3. Can Wisconsin, with their schedule, go 7-2? You bet your ass they can, because they don't have any heavyweights in conference. I think they do have Michigan, but I think they host Michigan this year. Other than that, good luck and God bless, because the schedule's – the only favor you have right now as Nebraska is that most of your West foes come here.
Yeah, and those teams that you mentioned, I think, plus Nebraska, would be your top four in the West. So those are teams you want to handle your business against, and if you do that, you'll be looking pretty good shape. I don't have a problem with where Nebraska is ranked. I kind of had them in that second or third range, and it kind of seems like they're tied a little bit with Northwestern at this point, which I think is fine. I think Northwestern, I
mean, Northwestern's getting a lot
nice
of love
players.
Because of how loaded they are.
Mm-hmm,
how good their defense has been. They have 8 starters back. They got a quarterback that's started for 2 years. They have Jackson. They'll find somebody at wideout, because it seems like they always do, and they're kind of physical for being the smart kids. They know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
They've built up to it.
But Nebraska could be this surprise team, like we saw yesterday with the Paul Meyerberg article. If this Tanner Lee guy, you know, if he's the guy from Tulane, or is he this guy that is just wowing everybody at these academies or on these Sundays where he's getting to impress his teammates when they are resting, you know? I mean, that was pretty cool to read from that article yesterday.
No, Paul does a good job, and let's talk a little bit, Coach DiNardo. You know, from an expectation standpoint, and Babcock says this all the time, and he's right. Mike, what's the O-line going to do?
Yep.
He's right, because this offense is going to hinge on your experienced offensive line and your run game and what it does to lend help to your quarterback. Now, the quarterback can be helpful to the run game and the offensive line with quick passes or throws to the back out of the backfield. You can screw with the defense. I totally believe in this offense. And he'll be able to make the throws. But if you want to get a little more exotic or take care of some of his talents or use some of the mismatches you have, then he's going to need time. And there's going to need to be balance offensively. So if you do run it on first down, you're going to get 4 to 5. Leave that there on the table so they don't know what the hell you're going to do always on first down. Well, you're averaging 2.9 a carry, so it's going to be, you know, Air Osborne here. Break out the runs a hat. You throw for 100.5. Okay? It's going to be Nebraska just chuck. You're going to turn into Washington State or Oregon State where you're just throwing because that's all you can do. Don't make it that hard. Be able to run the football a bit and be balanced on offense. And then have a go-to. And they're working on that. They want to have a go-to. I don't know if the counter is going to be it or if it's out of the shotgun and it's kind of that stretch cut back off the tackle's shoulder out of the shotgun. So, listen, if you're Nebraska and there's some question marks about this team, I get it, because the other thing, too, is, and Coach DiNardo mentioned this, is the transition. I mean, you're in year three, but you're not settled. You're not settled with scheme because you'd had a running quarterback and you adapted yourself to it. You've also changed defenses. You've also changed everyone on the staff defensively except Bray.
Yep.
So here's the reality of Nebraska. Their growth has been stunted due to transition and turnover. Not turnovers, that's not helped either. But you've had turnover and transition, and there's been no way to just settle right now.
Which is odd. You had so much transition after having a win improvement like that, but you could still tell it was evident that the way the season finished, it still wasn't right. Yep.
Still wasn't right.
So you had to make the most of it, felt like, right?
Well, and this is what Coach DiNardo's said to us a lot, is that Mike's willing to make changes.
Yes.
Versus you're stuck with what you got at Oregon State. Mm-hmm. That's the pat on the back that has been handed out in this whole thing, is you're willing to make changes. You're not stuck. If it's not going to get you championships or ability to play for championships, then don't stay with it. For the sake of staying with it, you're not forced to do that. You can make changes. That's what Nebraska's done. So a third place finish in the West. The East, how about Michigan? How about Michigan with one vote to win the Big Ten East? Penn State, 7. I think a lot of folks think Penn State's going to be like, yeah, we got awesomely hot last year.
Mm-hmm.
We're still good. We're still really good and can put up 50 on you, but we might allow 45.
Yeah, let's see how they handle the pressure.
And then there's Ohio State. What say you? Who is playing for the Big Ten championship this year? Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan. Who wins the championship this year out of those four? The votes go down like this. 29 of the votes go to Ohio State, 4 to Wisconsin, 4 to Penn State, 1 to Michigan. People forget that Michigan smoked Penn State last year. 49 to 10. Killed them. And Michigan has to go to Happy Valley this year. Wisconsin played out of their mind. I think they lost 14 to 7, where passing was outlawed in Ann Arbor last year. What about you, Teach? What do you think of Ohio State? Are you just, that is the conference's hope for another playoff appearance? Are you solid and sold on Weber, on that O-line, on Barrett, and frankly, on the front seven? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm buying the front seven. But the back four, can they just... All right, you've lost 8 dudes to the league, either at safety or corner, the last 2 years. Can you just keep going to your defensive back and safety tree, and it's all okay?
I trust Urban Meyer, and I think he's able to
get the
guys.
I think it's Shiano.
This will get it done? Okay.
I think it's what Shiano's doing defensively.
Well, and the Kevin Wilson pickup is pretty nice, too.
Yeah.
So I like that. So I trust the whole coaching staff. It's Ohio State. They got all the resources. But according to the previous polls, when Ohio State has been picked to win it all, it hasn't gone that way.
What's the shakedown there?
Well, I believe Brandon Vogel has it written here. When they are tabbed to preseason favorites in 2015, 2015, and 2016, they saw Michigan State again, and Penn State win that division.
So when they're the favorite, they're not really a favorite.
No. And they're the favorite again.
Mm. I think folks are kind of drawing parallels to, remember the year Michigan State beat Ohio State, 2013 Big Ten Championship?
Yep.
Right? And you had a Rose Bowl win and a top five finish. And
was
just,
that the...
it was Michigan State.
Was that the Hail Mary catch at the goal line, or am I thinking?
No, that was the Russell Wilson era.
Okay.
Back when they split divisions. But no, what you have with this is the sad look of Urban eating a Papa John slice on a John Deere gator.
Yeah.
Okay? What'd they do?
That's a great photo.
They came back fired up and furious, and after the Virginia Tech loss, they righted the ship. See, what has been unique with Ohio State is that title run, their ability to bounce back, how much better they got, and then what they had at quarterback with the downfield passing. The missing ingredient for this offense at Ohio State to be unstoppable is a guy who is competent, can complete passes, and can hit passes downfield. And they had that with Cardale. Do you have that or not? With Barrett.
But was Cardale just lightning in a bottle for four games?
No, but his skill set matched perfectly with what everything else was working. Barrett busted his leg. Braxton was your slot back.
Mm-hmm. And I think that helped a lot that here comes a fresh quarterback who's like a LeBron-sized type guy and is able to take a bunch of hits because he hasn't been hit all year and bruising guys, and then he's able to complete the throws, the bombs down the field.
Yeah, there's no answer.
But, I mean, he just won the biggest games you possibly could. So I just, you know, maybe they got a little lucky. Maybe it wasn't as much
They didn't have film on him.
That's true.
And he wasn't as great the following year because they were playing quarterback merry-go-round. All right, there's your Big Ten poll update. Sauter Heyman, your diamond update. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds, except they're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. All the same characteristics as earth-mined diamonds, and they are the biggest and best sellers you'll see at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion. Lincoln around Weston, Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. All right, Mike Gilbert, longtime agent for O.J. Simpson, part of his inner circle. Mike Gilbert is next. His reaction to the O.J. parole on Hail Varsity Radio.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, HailVarsity.com. It's been on our show a few times. Mike Gilbert, longtime agent to O.J. Simpson, author, How I Helped O.J. Get Away with Murder. And Mike Gilbert reacting to the O.J. parole yesterday. Mike, I wanted to start off, and again, thanks for a few minutes. Mike Gilbert is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Your day yesterday, you mentioned you had 31 interview requests. You said no. What did you do? Did you watch the parole hearing?
You know, gosh, as you know, I think we've talked about the Oscar-winning documentary, mm-hmm. 30, that, you know, I was a large part of that, and my book was an impetus for that, which I didn't watch. You know, I just don't watch things that I do. I don't listen to interviews, read interviews. Mm-hmm. But I did watch it, and the reason was I've waited for nearly 9 years to see if, I guess I had one question. I wanted to know if in 9 years OJ had learned anything, if he learned to accept responsibility, not to blame people, and so on and so forth. And I thought that the answer would be absolutely yes, simply because for OJ to be locked up for 9 years and not do interviews or have surrogates do interviews is shocking. However, you know, I had this release that I was, in fact, going to send to you that I had written out the night before because I was supportive of his release simply because, you know, he was offered a 2.5-year sentence on a plea bargain and he turned it down. So, I thought he deserved to be released. And for what he did in Nevada, absolutely. However, I still agree with that, you know, that he deserves it, because that is how the system works. Although it didn't take me very long to get the answer to that question. And it was shocking. OJ has learned absolutely nothing. He hasn't changed. He's the same person that he was 9 years ago, and even going back, you know, farther than that. I'm not afraid of OJ or what he's going to do when he gets out. I think if I were actually maybe Fermong or Riccio or his attorney that went out and testified against him at the appellate hearing, I'd be kind of worried about OJ. My fear has more to do with the way the world has changed, as you and all of your listeners know. When OJ went to jail, if I'm not mistaken, the first iPhone came out that year So if you think about it, it wasn't an iPhone 1. It was just an iPhone. You didn't have Twitter and Facebook.
You have a massive audience of social media now.
Right. And I've had people ask me for years, what would it have been like if you guys really had the internet and you had smartphones and FaceTime and all these things that people have now that they can post instantly, what would it have, the trial have been like in 94? Of course, you know, God knows. I mean, as you know, that was covered by everybody, worldwide news coverage. So my fear is going to be when OJ gets out, it's going to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year of pure O.J. Simpson. And that I don't look forward to. But what I saw yesterday was somebody that still is blaming Tom Riccio for setting him up. The guys with him that went in with him to help him, that he recruited, he threw under the bus yesterday. So if anything, OJ's learned nothing. And so what I took away from it, OJ is still lying. He's unable to accept responsibility. Obviously, he's still manipulating people. You know, the love-in yesterday with the parole board was a great example. You know, knowing that OJ could have called me, he had my number, at any time to see if I were selling his items, which, by the way, he always knew where they were. But he could have called. But he thought I was actually selling them because I'd quit working for him. What he didn't know is when he walked into the room, it wasn't going to be me. It was going to be Bruce Vermont. So he knew, you know, he knew where the items were. He knew I had them. All he had to do is call. But he didn't call me because he wanted to go in and have my butt kicked by the guys with those guns. You know, so that was disturbing to see that he is exactly the same guy. It's always somebody else's fault. I literally about choked when I think he said something that he had lived a violent-free life and all these different things, and not even bringing up June 12th. But I started trying to recall how many times Nicole had dialed 911 on him. And then, of course, his daughter has called 911 on him. The guy that he punched over a traffic incident in Florida dialed 911 on him. And in fact, even though Arnell spoke on his behalf yesterday, I think she had called maybe once or twice on OJ. I'm not positive about that, but I just know how many people have to call 911 on OJ before people realize that that's not a violent-free existence. So do I think people have reason to be worried? Yeah.
Mike Gilbert's...
Because of people. Yeah, go ahead.
Mike Gilbert's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Agent, author, How I Helped OJ Get Away with Murder, and a longtime friend and inner circle member with OJ Simpson. Mike, what was your arrangement with OJ regarding the memorabilia? Reset that for folks, and I know many people have seen the 30 for 30.
Oh, sure.
And then what kind of broke you two apart? What ended it and kind of led to this Vegas situation? You just said
right.
he could call you because you had some of the memorabilia. He never called you, and he was looking to rough you up from your point of view.
Well,
correct?
What happened? Yeah, let me explain. What happened was when he was moving out of Rockingham, you know, he had lost Rockingham in the civil trial. That money was going to go to the Goldmans and so forth. So, as he was moving everything out, which you have to imagine, we had cleaned out his beach house in Laguna Beach. Moved all that furniture up to LA. My brother and I drove everything from his New York apartment back to California. So we had just a lot of stuff in storage units. So a lot of the memorabilia that he had in the various locations and at his house and his game room and so forth, he asked me to take with his stuff, along with, I guess, some of his books that he had written when he was in jail. I think it was, I Want to Tell You. put those in storage, which I did. So all that stuff, OJ knew exactly where it was. I didn't sell it to Fermong. If OJ wanted, all he had to do is call. However, going back to why I quit, when OJ got out of jail, the night he got home, gave me a hug and he kissed me on the cheek and he said, you know, I couldn't have gotten here without you. And the money you made while I was, you know, locked up, I owe you my life. I owe you my freedom. And I told him, you don't owe me, OJ. I made that choice on my own. I did it because that's what I think friends are supposed to do. You know, you stand by him in the good and the bad. And I said, you know what? If you owe me anything, you owe me going back and being the guy that I remember as a kid growing up and rooting for. And the friend that I've always known, the client I've always known. Go back and be that guy that I remember and America remembers. That's all I expect from you. And instead, he started doing things that I had never seen him do. I had seen him smoke pot, but I'd never seen him do coke until after. And what really drove us apart was that final trip down to Miami, Florida, when I saw his girlfriend, Christy Prody, strung out on coke. She had left her apartment and her cat died. It was just terrible. And I told OJ, I said, OJ, you can party. You can go do coke on a Friday and Saturday and then not do it for a month. Christy can't. She can't. Once she starts, she keeps going. And you know that because you called 911 on her when she was with Pedro Guerrero doing coke. But you do it anyway. You give it to her. And he, the selfishness came out. He said, Mike, when she's doing coke, she's a freak. And I'll just leave it at that. I won't go into details. But it was so self-serving. At that time, they'd been clean for, you know, a week or two or whatever. And that night, we dropped a friend of his off at his condo in his car. I got into OJ's, and he is offering Christy lines of coke. And I just stared at him and was floored that after the long talk about her and her health and everything else, that he's getting her to do coke again. So the respect, you know, and hope that he would go back and try to be the person that America remembered, that was gone. You know, he was wanting to tape a porno video for $5 million for some company. And just the people he was hanging out with and the way he was treating his youngest daughter, Sydney, was terrible. You know, I heard him, you know, just rip into Sydney and saying, you're just like your mother, you're ungrateful. And I corrected him on that, or called him out on it twice. And the last time he did it, when I was in Florida, that was actually the last time I saw him until I was in court. You know, I said, you know, how can you expect Sydney to be normal when everybody around her reads these tabloid stories that you're constantly doing for money, you and Christy, and here's Sydney, you know, everybody at school is making fun of her, they're dropping tabloids on the, you know, by her locker, and it's tough being a teenager, let alone having you as a dad, because you're acting like a rookie in the NFL. And, you know, oh, Sydney's fine. But when I saw that, where he didn't really care about his own daughter, I realized that OJ loves one person, and that's OJ. You know, he was always extremely kind and generous and giving, but when it comes down to it, it's OJ. You know, like I've said before, if he were on the Titanic and it was going down, he might throw you a life preserver if he had four or five as backups for himself.
Hang on the line. Mike Gilbert is going to continue with this, former agent with O.J. Simpson. Mike Gilbert continues with us here on Hail Varsity.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Former O.J. Simpson agent Mike Gilbert with us as we're talking about O.J. and parole. And Mike, you were talking about O.J., the Titanic, and self-preservation.
Because he would make sure he'd survive. And that's why when this other documentary came out saying that O.J. bit the bullet for his oldest son, that, you know, they were accusing Jason of committing the murders and O.J. Covered for him. I'm sorry, but O.J. would never do that for anybody. No way. He would never have given up his life for his son or anyone else.
Mike Gilbert's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, longtime agent and Inner Circle member with O.J. Simpson. Mike, very prevalent, extremely important to the 30 for 30 that came out last summer. You still haven't watched it. It was just something that was tough for you. I want to switch gears for a second. And last time we talked, this was last summer, reviewing the 30 for 30, you were doing the interview from inside the Bronco. Can we get a Bronco update?
Yeah, Bronco update. I guess a story came out on TMZ today about the Bronco, which is interesting because I don't remember actually talking to anybody. But the Bronco I do own. I put it into a museum in Tennessee. It's called Alcatraz East. They just built it ground up. They have, I think, a Bonnie and Clyde car, an Al Capone car. They have, it's also like a teaching museum about American history. So put it there. The people down there are some of the most honest and reputable people I've dealt with in probably my career. So I have no intentions on selling it. We've had offers. I did a Pawn Star interview that airs, I think, August 14th about the Bronco. But even before I went to Vegas, I told him, I said, you guys know I'm not selling the Bronco. That they just wanted to do a show about it. So, yeah, it's in the museum. It's going to be there. I think the contract's 60 months. And if it's up to me, I'll just leave it there in perpetuity because I don't think there's a better place for it.
You would not take an offer for it?
You know, it's so funny because my daughter asked me that this morning. She said, Daddy, say somebody walks up with a briefcase with $1 million in it and says, how about now? And I honestly don't know. I mean, I could sure use the money, but I just, there's no reason. I can leave it there. You know, they're paying rental on it or lease on it. So to me, it's just an investment. It's there where a lot of people can see it. And especially now, you know, with OJ coming into prominence because of these the one long 9-episode TV show and the 30 for 30 documentary, which I have one of, I was issued 50 sets and I'm going to send one out to you.
Oh, great.
So you have your own. Yeah, it has worse than Oscar winner, you know, all that kind of cool stuff. But I'm going to send one out to you out there, and you can watch it all you want. I won't. No, but I have heard. I've had so many of my friends is that the documentary is just phenomenal. Even close friends of mine that used to be good friends with O.J. That hate anything to do with O.J., one being one of my partners with the Bronco, Michael, and Michael called me and said, you know I hate O.J. I don't watch anything about him, but this is bigger than O.J. This is, he said, and he's the one that first told me it was a masterpiece.
It was so, an incredible series. Mike, as we wind down, Mike Gilbert is with us, longtime agent for O.J. Simpson, author, How I Helped O.J. Get Away with Murder, and was part of the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary. Mike, what is next for you and O.J., or is there anything next? Will you, when he's released in October, will you reach out to him? Do you expect him to reach out to you? Is there a future with you two moving forward?
You know, again, one of the questions my kids have asked me, and I think if anything, you know, I might wish him well and hope that he goes on and enjoys the rest of what life he has. I hope he stays low key. I'm going to, of course, I'll write him a letter, but I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to see him. I just don't want to get pulled back into that. That's why I've turned down the 31 interview request, because I just don't. I'm really over it. Unfortunately, the story continues, and God knows for how long.
What do you expect from him? Can he? Do you think he stays out of trouble?
No. No. Not a chance. Do I think he'll kill somebody? No.
Well, I'm not asking that.
Oddly enough, but I just don't think it's possible, because I think O.J. hangs around with the wrong people. You know, once he got to Florida, I mean, come on, they busted him, sued him for $25,000 for suing DirecTV, you know, stuff like that. So I don't think he can stay out of trouble because of the environment that he's going to put himself into. I'm not sure how long the terms of his parole are going to be. Is there going to be alcohol and drug testing, which I hope there is. But he will, as everybody says, he will OJ his parole officer. I'm sure that he'll be buddy-buddy with them. People still are confused with the actor. I think yesterday, if you watched that, you would think, wow, he's smiling, he's lighthearted. But when he didn't know that microphone was on, and he was mocking the prison guard with the mullet. And that's the other side of O.J. It's like I used to tell people when they had asked me, they say, how did I get O.J. so wrong? I'd see him in the Naked Gun movies or on the sideline during the NFL games, the Hertz commercials. And I'd tell people, you didn't get him wrong. But that's an actor. That's somebody that is acting in a particular role. O.J.'s persona is just another role. It's another mask that he wears. But there is that other side, that very dark side to O.J. It's like when I asked Skip Taft, our longtime private attorney, I asked Skip right after O.J. got out of jail, said, do you think O.J. would have gone through what we did for him? And Skip kind of chuckled and he said, no, not that he doesn't love us, not that he wouldn't have been behind the scenes paying for experts and doing everything he could to help us. But would O.J. take a bullet for us, stand out in front of the cameras and lose friends and lose business for us? Never. Simply because O.J. is incapable of loving the way that normal people love. And I think that's true, because there is a very, very good side to O.J. But then there's that other side that I saw again yesterday with the lies and the manipulation. To answer your question, I think he'll be in Florida. If there's drug testing, he'll obviously comply unless his parole officer does a wink and a nod, which I wouldn't be surprised. But, eventually he will, simply because what I saw yesterday, he hasn't changed.
Mike Gilbert is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, author and a part of ESPN's 30 for 30, longtime agent, 20-year relationship with O.J. Simpson. Mike, we will catch up again. Thanks for making today work, and thanks for granting the interview request with us on Hail Varsity.
Come on, like I told you when we talked a few days ago, I cannot turn you down. Come on. You know that. Thank God. Hopefully you never go to a network or something where I can't turn you down.
Mike, you take care. Thanks for the time.
Okay, my friend. My best to you and your listeners.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Mike Gilbert, longtime agent, confidant of O.J. Simpson. And two-segment deal with him. So his thoughts and reaction, he didn't hold anything back on O.J. And his parole. If you missed that, the interview will be posted at HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. As part of today's podcast is Bill Dolman's 10 Minutes Away, the Pride of Fairbury. We'll talk some Nebraska football and NBA with Billy D, the Kyrie Irving saga. Brandon Vogel will join us. And if you're scoring at home, there was Pedro Guerrero, there was cocaine, there was marijuana, there was alcohol, there was porn, there was just lots of different thoughts and things surrounding O.J. Simpson before the Vegas memorabilia robbery and kidnapping. And O.J. was upset at Mike because O.J. thought Mike was selling O.J.'s stuff. Mike's moved and harbored and held on to a lot of the stuff. And, yeah, I mean, Mike was probably the target of that that Vegas trip after the wedding O.J. was there to attend.
Yeah, that was crazy with Mike describing the whole Miami incident with his girlfriend at the time and just like, look, you can handle doing some hard drugs, but she can't, and he just doesn't care. This man,
it's a whole different world,
he had a whole
brother.
Different life in that Miami, didn't he? I mean, he was just, I mean.
No, I mean, you saw the end of the 30 for 30 and the type of lifestyle, South Beach, club, constant parties. I mean, it was, for lack of a better term, the spring break lifestyle.
And he was offered money to do a porno? Is that what it was? Or
that's what Mike says. Man. $5 million.
Jeez. Yeah, and then at the end of the interview, too, it's just a simple wink and a nod, and he's able to do stuff with his parole officer.
But
just like,
I would not.
I mean, I'd hope that's not the case.
Desecrate the Florida parole officer.
I mean, that's something at a movie, too, or a TV show. Like, you could just see that happening.
Well, the term he used is, he'll OJ you.
Yeah.
Turn the charm on.
I was like, okay.
Growing up, the jokes were different with the how OJ is going to OJ you.
Yeah. And he hit it right on the head, too, with just when the cameras are on, it's a completely different guy. Yeah, he's on. And when they're not, then, yeah, he's wisecracking you, or worse.
Yeah, yeah. Dolman's with us in 10 minutes. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We'll get back to some Nebraska football thoughts. And I don't know if you're over the OJ. Mike had offers from a ton of national media. You saw his role with the 30 for 30, and just thankful that he gave us a few minutes. And the backstory with him is he had his book, How I Helped O.J. Get Away with Murder, that came out, I think, in 07. And he came on, and that's when I first met him, in around 06, 07, of course, is Nebraska-USC in 2012, 2013. He had the home and home series with UCLA. Mike's a huge Nebraska fan. Loved watching Nebraska in the 70s. So we talked a lot of Nebraska football off air. It was cool. Thanks to Mike Gilbert. Bill Dolman shortly. Brandon Vogel shortly. And back on the other side, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Back shortly.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Back with you, hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, HailVarsity.com. We are efforting the pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. Is that a maybe? Yeah? We shall see. He did have some work with NBC Sports prior to jumping on with us. So we'll see if we get Bill Dolman. You know, crazy day in sports. You had the OJ parole yesterday. We had Mike Gilbert on for most of last hour to start things off. You have the U freeze news at Ole Miss. And then, of course, you have things with the Big Ten and media days going on Monday and Tuesday. So we can roll the spin the wheel of college football here momentarily. And I want to ask you this, and you've had guys in the world of college football that have just landed at Ole Miss, and it's never really just worked out. Hugh Freeze, if you read Lars Anderson's story, was a high school coach assistant. On the night he got married, he broke into Tennessee Stadium with his wife, and he told her, I'm going to be a head football coach in the SEC someday. Well, he was for 5 years. He walked away from $4 million. I don't know what else they had on him, if anything, other than they were going to pin all of the infractions that the NCAA is deliberating right now on him. Used to not want an apology, didn't get it. So he goes and sues for slander. And lo and behold, there's an escort phone number in there. And there's a bevy of coaches. You don't know what Ole Miss is going to get smacked with, but she just never felt easy or comfortable with their rise to power. It felt a lot like SMU. Now you have a guy in Hugh Freeze that's probably hireable again because he walked away from $4 million. You're going to be dirty, but you won't be unhireable if you just walk, you. So let's bring in Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, college football, Olympic sports, NBC sports, and NBA, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D., I've missed you. How are you?
I'm just about all dived out is how I'm doing. 17 shows over the last 8 days of the World Diving Championships from Budapest, Hungary, on the brand new Olympic Channel. But nevertheless, I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking.
Well, I wanted to ask you here to start off with, let's talk some college football. You have seen and been around a lot of college football coaches. You've been around Houston Nutt. You've been around Hugh Freeze. And what's your reaction to this resignation and what's your tinfoil hat conspiracy take on this? You always have one.
Well, first of all, it just begs the initial excuse. It just begs the, well, that's the new definition of a butt dial.
Mm-hmm.
but once they dug a little deeper and realized that those fingers have been doing that walking for a long time, I mean, it's a sad story, and it's unfortunate. I feel bad for Hugh Freeze and his family. That's going to be really messy for a long, long time. To that end, it's a sad end to his tenure at Ole Miss. I heard what you said. Yeah, it is incredible, the rise of Ole Miss football over the last 5 years. I think he's a good football coach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understandable that they were going to have some success. But to be where they were, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago? Mississippi and Mississippi State were 1-2 in the country.
Well, think about this. They've beaten Bama 2 out of the last 3 years and could have won it, should have won it against them last year. They could have won 3 straight against them.
Well, I think that they've had good football teams with good coaching. How have they done it? Okay, well, we may find out. And then to see Lane Kiffin's name already mentioned as a potential successor, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Shouldn't you go find yourself a Mike Riley, who I think they thought they had in Hugh Freeze?
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Freeze is a man of faith who obviously made a bad decision or two, but to go from that and then to go bring in the drama of Lane Kiffin, shouldn't they go find their Mike Riley?
You need a buffer, don't you? You need a buffer.
Or somebody, doesn't necessarily have to be a buffer, but just somebody who really is almost above reproach in character. And I think that's what Nebraska has found in Mike Riley.
Mm.
We certainly had that for 25 years and more with Tom Osborne and the staff that he put together. To think you're going to bring in the Lane Kiffin circus, to me would be disastrous by the administration.
Has he made his first mortgage payment in Boca yet? I mean, he was house shopping the last time I was hearing about Lane.
I just think it's crazy that if that's the direction that they want to go. I don't know the direction that they do, but that is going to be a program under a dark cloud all of 2017. Eventually, mm-hmm. It'll get lifted. But for the time being, that is just going to be a miserable situation at Ole Miss. They still have the best tailgating, apparently, in all of the country. But nevertheless, with all the Southern Bells, that's not going to be healthy. And then to see Houston Nutt in the mix, and Houston Nutt is the one that's, helping to dig up the dirt when he's got his own cell phone issues from his time when he was at, Arkansas?
Yes.
I think they caught him with like 1,500 calls to people other than family.
Do you think he recognized the number? Is my I'm being serious. Do you think he recognized the number on the phone records?
I don't know. But, well, the other thing is, you know, he Houston Nutt had text messages to that, to, you know, his other, his significant other, his other significant other, whatever it was, like moments before they ran onto the field before one of their bowl games. You know, and so here's Houston Nutt, you know, basically going back to the playbook that got him undone at Arkansas, and, you know, going to the same playbook to do whatever he did. And, you know, I don't know what he has against Hugh Freeze. I thought his beef was against the institution, but to, I mean, it makes Houston Nutt all the slimier. And if you want to take it, you know, even further steps down the road, it just goes back to how incredibly inept the former Nebraska athletic director was in vetting the character of the next Nebraska football coach. I mean, if Houston Nutt was going to be the guy, because he had no guy, that he went after that guy and that kind of guy, what kind of mess were we about to get into? Bo Pelini was one thing, but he was no Houston Nutt. And it just goes back to the I've looked at that going, when I started seeing Houston Nutt's name mixed in with this whole Hugh Freeze thing, that's one of the first things I thought of, was that plane
could have been Nebraska.
Sitting in Arkansas that was going to bring him to Nebraska until his dad talked him out of it. And I'm thinking, again, this is the kind of guy that Steve Peterson was going after. I mean, what? Again, I'm so glad that 4-year case of the flu really is over.
Houston Nutt was on with us in 2013, and I asked him about the trip to Nebraska, why he didn't take it. He's like, well, the AD who wanted to bring me in told me I probably shouldn't talk to Coach Osborne about the job. And that was, they gave him some reservations.
Yeah, it's only a few people can draw that that line. I'm one of them. But just to think that if he had gotten on that plane and come here, that you know, after what we had gone through and what we ended up with, and then eventually getting Bo Pelini, but I'm just so glad that's over. But that's what we were staring at.
That's what I think of Houston. I think of the empty plane. That's what I think of.
Yeah. Well, I think of the self. Again, I was involved with Arkansas athletics to a small degree,
sure,
having done basketball with them for a year, and that was about that time.
Okay.
And you know, I've got friends down there in Arkansas, and hearing some of the stories about, and I think it was a news anchor that he was involved with, and her station is having to, you know, report on Houston Nutt's misdeeds with a cell phone to the anchor who's on the desk right now.
Did she get to read it, or was it her partner?
It was, no, they had like a guy in the newsroom. I remember one night I was actually there. They lead off with this story about Houston Nutt and his cell phone, and it's the male anchor talking about leading into the story, going into the newsroom to the Cub reporter Jimmy Olsen, who's there reporting on the story, and then he gets done reporting on the story about the text messages and the phone calls, and then sends it back to the front desk, to the news desk, to said anchor, who then reads a story about a funeral home or a nursing home or something. That's how convoluted that whole thing was.
Sally Lynn sent it to you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, she's dumbfounded. But anyway, I can draw that line from where they are right now, Ole Miss, to what might have been in Nebraska, just by the characters involved in the story.
Bill Dolman's with
us. Unfortunate.
Pride of Fairbury, Hail Varsity Radio, NBC Sports. Bill, Cleveland.com has the football poll out. Wisconsin's first place, Northwestern second. Nebraska, 2 first place votes, but in it third. What are your expectations for Nebraska? We got about 5 minutes. What do you think of the season, and what's your gut tell you about Nebraska 2017? Big Ten Media Days kick off on Monday.
All right, I am so sick of a couple of things with Nebraska football, all right?
Okay.
Not being able to get a first down on 3rd-and-3. All right, that it needs to be a given, all right?
So you want to see the run game.
I want to see an offensive line, and don't throw any pipeline stuff out there until we can definitively, without a question of a doubt, get a first down on 3rd-and-3 or 4th-and-1, and never throwing the football, unless it's that trick play to the tight end that Bill McCartney couldn't figure out in 1994. Secondly, I am so sick of this budding rivalry between Nebraska and Northwestern. This should not be happening. It's like Nebraska being in the Big 12 and being rivals with Texas Tech. All right? So if Northwestern is ahead of Nebraska in some poll, that troubles me greatly. I can understand if we're having issues beating Wisconsin, if we're having troubles beating Ohio State or Michigan, but it should be Nebraska, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan State, although they had a disastrous year last year. But any time that I see, well, can Nebraska beat Northwestern, it makes my stomach drop. Mm-hmm. That's got to come to an end. There should never be any rivalry in the Big Ten between NU and NU, all right? And I know we're the U of N, I get the whole thing. But So if I see us behind Northwestern in any poll, anywhere, that troubles me. That's got to come to an end. What do I think, Nebraska? I think it's an 8-win season. I think it has to be an 8-win season. Go win a bowl game and you win 9. And if you can win 10, 11, 12, run the table, play in January, you know, great. But I think the benchmark for this program right now has to be winning 8 games. And if Northwestern cannot be a competitive game anymore. Okay. That's just not, cannot happen.
Bill, 90 seconds. Kyrie Irving wants a trade. Your reaction?
Well, there must be some tremendous dysfunction there in Cleveland. Unfortunately, you know, Ty Lue is there. I think, you know, LeBron, maybe it's LeBron James has just done so much saber rattling about where he may end up and all that, that maybe Kyrie Irving is saying, screw this, I'm out of here. I think LeBron will end up in L.A. or New York, one or the other. Maybe Kyrie Irving. And when I saw the news come out, I was having dinner with some of my NBC folks, colleagues, and the first thought was maybe Kyrie Irving goes to New York and they convince Melo to stay. I think he'd be fantastic in San Antonio. I think anybody who's got a head for the game and takes it seriously is not out to be a celebrity. And if they go to San Antonio, I think that's fantastic, a great move. So I would think it's New York and they get Melo to stay. And I guess Griffin pulled his name out of the GM running for that job. But I could see him going there because I think he is great. And I know LeBron's the leader of that team, but they don't win a championship a year ago without Kyrie Irving. And I thought he was the best player on their team during that championship run. But if he went to San Antonio, that wouldn't surprise me either. And I think it'd be a great move for him. But I think Cleveland has got to get ready to be wandering in the desert for another 40 years.
Yeah. Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, NBA, college sports, and, of course, Olympic sports and diving. Bill, we'll run you down next week. Thanks for a few minutes. Always love catching up with you.
You don't want to talk USA diving because I think the Americans have some work to do. Only one medal so far with one day to go at the World Championship.
Where can I watch you?
Budapest, Hungary.
Where can I watch you tonight?
The Olympic Channel, the brand new Olympic Channel, the home of Team USA, which is a new network in the NBC family of networks, and also some NBCSN. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be working the World Track and Field Championships in London. So a lot of great Olympic action. Usain Bolt
nice.
Won the 100 meters today on NBCSN. Of course, he'll be in action in making his retirement run in London.
The Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. Billy D, we'll talk soon, bud. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, there he is. Pride of Fairbury. We got our Houston Nut, U Freeze, Ole Miss fix. Could have been wearing that red. Thank God. Let's give you some recruiting news and a message board and some breaking news and about some premium content. It's all on HailVarsity.com. Caller 4, Caller 5 right now, a 6-month online subscription on us. Right now, Caller 4, Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4, Caller 5 right now, a 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. 466-3776, 800-825-5865, Caller 4, Caller 5 right now.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Getting closer to the weekend. Don't forget the weekend edition of Hail Varsity tomorrow morning at 7. Busy show today. Bill Dolman with us to start off hour two, and Mike Gilbert, longtime agent for O.J. Simpson, most of hour one, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Let's tell you about Wilderness Ridge. Got some weekend specials for you. And can play 18 before the sun goes down. Championship course, twilight going on now through the 23rd after 2 o'clock. $34 a person plus tax. That includes cart. So what I'm telling you is it cools down at night, I hear. Go play 18 on the championship course for $34 plus tax. Do so at Wilderness Ridge. Twilight options for you. Today through the weekend, WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. Vogues is probably a pretty salty golfer, I would say, even though he doesn't brag about himself. Brandon Vogel with us of HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, in honor of the Open, I mean, are you going to dust the clubs off this weekend or not?
No, I do not own clubs. I had a brief, a very brief one season run with the sport of golf when I was a freshman in high school. I wish I played. Like, I know I would like it, but at this point it's just kind of like, do I really want to get into this and go through the very steep learning curve? So I've just left golf on its own. I'm not a golfer, unfortunately.
Well, all the old Jack Pierce tournaments, you were in the cart supervising, correct?
For a couple of them, I was. I am a good golf supervisor. Maybe caddy. Maybe caddying is my calling. That seems like more my speed.
Well, you can write too. You're pretty awesome at that. Let's spend a minute or two on Hot Reads and the Cleveland.com poll. Coach DiNardo also mentioning, you know, what has maybe stunted Nebraska's growth, and he's been great with us every week or every other week kind of leading up to this year. And, you know, I think his point, to start with Uncle Jerry, I think his point about scheme switch right now being a very real roadblock, and that's just because of transition, not because it's a bad idea. You're just working with what you have. And it just slows down progress. Do you agree?
To a certain extent, I do think it's better to be undergoing that on defense than it is on offense.
Yes.
Because at a certain degree, and a lot of this comes down to the teacher you have in place, and I think we all sort of agree that we think Nebraska has a pretty great one in place in Bob Diaco. But at some point, defense does come down to, okay, it's about, you know, want to what you've been taught and go get the ball. And I think you'll see Nebraska be better in all of those areas probably in 2017. So that mitigates it a little bit in my mind. If you were undergoing, you know, if you had a new offensive coordinator, you're moving to the spread or something like that, which obviously wouldn't make sense with this quarterback in particular, but that would be much more difficult in my mind.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Yeah, you're transitioning on defense that may be better for your personnel. Other thing we can talk about is Tanner Lee expectations, and it's not fair to throw it on him in his arm. You're going to need O-line play and running game. We know that. I think he's good enough, though, to do more for the O-line and the run game based on what he can do from a completion standpoint to loosen a defense up. You can't ask him to seven-step drop with no run game, or if you're averaging 1.8 a carry. But in the you can loosen up the run via the pass, and I think that's something you can look at and not be completely afraid of if you're Nebraska.
Yeah, I would agree. It definitely is part of a larger puzzle. Now, Lee, I think, does have the potential to help in some of those areas where Nebraska was weak, but he's going to need a little help back from them too. And you hit on the two big ones, you know, offensive line and lack of, I guess, a consistent run game. And those things aren't unrelated. You know, one of the things that jumped out to me from that interview that DiNardo did is he mentioned Nebraska's supporting cast. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of gets to the overall view of Nebraska from outside of Lincoln and Omaha. Is it's tough for people who don't follow every move of every player on the roster to look at that roster and say, okay, well, they're going to be good here, 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 and here because look who they have at all of those spots, which contributes to, I guess, where Nebraska enters 2017. So I thought that part of it kind of nicely summed up the outside point of view, I guess, with the 2017 Huskers.
Now, the outside view, I mean, there are concerns, there's unknowns, you don't know what's going to happen. You know what Wisconsin has been. I think folks are done doubting them based on last year. Northwestern, when they get a lot of love, it doesn't work out well, but they've never had this much back on defense with this much stability at quarterback with this type of talent at I-back. So I get them being in there. And really, it's kind of Iowa, Nebraska, and then there's Minnesota. And, you know, I just want the world to know your thoughts on when I was in Minnesota. I offered to buy you a Row the Boat shirt, and you declined. You politely declined. You're not down with year one of the Row the Boat crew yet, are you?
I'm not. I think PJ Fleck, I think he can coach. Like, I don't have many doubts on that side of things, but it sort of becomes a question of, for me, what's Minnesota's ceiling? Like, you know, is Fleck so accomplished and have such good catchphrases and T-shirts and whatnot that he can make them a perennial West Division contender? I mean, 3 years from now, are we just going to be used to talking about, well, you can't count out Minnesota? That I don't know. So I'm kind of proceeding with caution with him, although it doesn't really have anything to do with his coaching ability, more so just Minnesota and how it fits into the division and the conference as a whole.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Folks, let's switch gears. Get your thoughts here, about 4 minutes here, on Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss. And you just wondered if it was going to end as in a tire fire. And, man, they were always a couple of steps ahead of insinuation. There was not a lot of pure love in the West. And quite honestly, the West has undergone a major makeover with coaches. You still got St. Nick standing, but there's been a lot of shuffling, hasn't there?
Yeah, there really has. It was almost like watching a pile of tires slowly smolder over here to the east, and then somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, did you notice this raging fire going on in the west, which was actually whatever was going on with Hugh Freeze and his phone. So certainly a strange circumstance. You know, we kind of knew that Ole Miss football was headed for some sort of reckoning. It was really interesting that the Ole Miss brass had stood by Freeze to the degree that they did, I think, to this point. And then all of a sudden, you know, as recently as Monday, they were sort of towing the standard line there at a booster event. And then on Thursday, he's out. So it all came to light pretty quickly. I mean, the story of basically Houston Nutt dropping a dime on him, I guess, for lack of a better term, is kind of, as, you know, crazy college football as it gets. But I don't know. It's tough when you see programs like that sort of get back and compete at a level that is a little bit above their traditional standing, I guess, and the SEC is a tough league to compete in. No shame in that, but you always kind of get yourself at least a little bit mentally prepared for that other shoe to drop, and it's certainly dropping on Ole Miss at this point.
It is, and I look at Ole Miss, Vogues, and I look at their talent acquisition and how they could have been 3-0 against Bama the last 3 years. Instead, they're 2-1, and then there's $4 million that Freeze just walks away from. You don't fight it. You don't force to get fired. Do you think let me resign and don't attach any show cause, whatever the shakes out of this, if he resigned, can he avoid the show cause, I'm saying, and get another job?
Well, it's going to be tough now. And I mean, I think it goes back to Nutt and his lawyer sort of. They kind of took that option off the table by getting this information to a couple of news outlets. So, you know, I don't know that Freeze had many options by the time this went down yesterday or whenever it actually started, the wheels started to be in motion. But yeah, it's going to be tough. And, you know, we talk about, it's easy to think about the head coaches and guys like that. They make a mistake, they do something wrong, and they lose their job, but there's kind of entire ecosystems attached to these guys, coaching connections that all of a sudden are sort of severed. Like, you know, if you're a person out there who kind of had an in with Hugh Freeze and you're thinking you're trying to move up the coaching ranks, all of a sudden that's gone. We don't talk about that part of it a lot.
Vogues, what's coming up on HailVarsity.com?
Well, we're taking the entire team to Chicago. Well, not the entire team, but pretty close. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a good crew there. And, you know, we'll see what that has. It's kind of amazing that we've got fan day next week already, and then practice starts right away. So the season is kind of here. We've been doing some behind-the-scenes planning in terms of how we handle that event, what we hope to get out of it. And then from there, we'll be kind of off and running.
Your book in Amazon, Dream Like a Champion, is out, Amazon.com, you and Coach Cook. Please, you got about a minute here, less than. Tell folks about how they can pre-order. And I've already said Amazon.com, but tell me why they should pre-order, because it's awesome. I say pre-order it, but brag.
Right. Yeah, it's not even pre-orders at this point. The book technically doesn't publish until September, but once they were in the warehouse, they start shipping them out. So if you order from Amazon now, you will get your copy in pretty good time. So, you know, it's a distillation of Coach Cook's obviously successful and winning philosophy with Nebraska volleyball. And the thing I try to keep telling people is, you know, Nebraska has a lot of volleyball fans. Even if you're not, if you're just into it for leadership advice or coaching acumen, there's plenty in here, because there's no doubt in my mind that Coach Cook would be a success coaching whatever sport he chose to coach.
Absolutely, and a tremendous job with Coach Cook. Brandon Vogel writing this, Dream Like a Champion, Wins, Losses, and Leadership, the Nebraska Volleyball Way. Get a copy. Great work by Brandon Vogel and Coach Cook. Vogues, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, there he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. NBA Fix is just around the corner with TJ Henning and his Kyrie thoughts.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hope your Friday's going well. Thanks to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity tomorrow morning at 7. If you missed today and you're headed to the gym or you're on a walk, melting, take us with the podcast. You can go to HailVarsity.com, go to iTunes or the ESPN Lincoln app. Mike Gilbert, longtime friend and associate and agent. They're not boys anymore. But part of 30 for 30, Mike Gilbert with us in hour one for probably two-thirds of the hour. And his reaction to the O.J. parole. If you're O.J.'d out, I get it, but this guy has got just remarkable stories and opinion on things.
Oh, yeah. He's got the best stuff.
And if you want a Pedro Guerrero reference, there is one in there. If you want South Beach Lifestyle 101, what O.J. was getting into before the slam, it's that. And how Mike avoided some issue in Las Vegas, because that's why O.J. went there, was to try and confront him.
Yeah, and I think it probably might be hotter here in Lincoln than in South Beach today.
I think it's, what is it, 107 in Lincoln?
It's 103 with a heat index of 114, I just checked.
Jeez, 107, jeez, 114. If you're in central and western Nebraska, we'll stop whining, because it's probably hot there. If you're in Columbus, I know you guys are...
This is hot everywhere.
...chilling out. It's just filthy. It's just suffocating. 7 out of 10, that's too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year. If they've been wearing their seatbelts, at a minimum, 69 alive today. Please save more lives. And to do so, Nebraska law enforcement agencies across the state on the lookout for seatbelt violations. A reminder to you to please click it or ticket, a message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Kyrie Irving is incredible, is talented, is somebody you can't win without if you're Braun, if you're Cleveland. And here's my theory, and it's not new or breaking. It's just is what it is, and the word is out that LeBron is going to leave Gilbert in Cleveland. And it's not a Cleveland thing. It's not a teammate thing. It's an owner thing. So guys are trying to plan accordingly. And one of those guys is Irving because he's on a long-term deal, right? 4 years with a fifth option is what he's on right now. Bron's gone after next year. So Kyrie needs to get the heck out of Dodge. Is it Brian Windhorst?
Yeah, he's the guy who broke the story.
Mr. Omaha lives there. But he is obviously locked into Cleveland, and he's locked into LeBron. And here's the latest from him on what's happening with Irving and his move and why he's out. It's shaken up. It's a slow sports day, but it's really kind of magnified just what type of dysfunction's going on there in Titletown.
No longer wants to play with LeBron. Why not?
Well, let me just start with something else. LeBron has a no-trade clause in his contract. So even if the Cavs would go down that road, they can't trade him without his consent. So I don't think that's something that's really in their realm right now. One thing I think you should have to understand is that back in 2014, Kyrie Irving signed a 5-year contract extension with the Cavs, not knowing LeBron James was going to play for them. He was completely in the dark about that. He thought he was signing up for 5 years of a team being built through the point guard. David Griffin had just been named general manager, and he sold him on building a team in Cleveland like he had in Phoenix all the years he was there, where they built around Steve Nash. And that's what Kyrie Irving thought he was signing up for. And all of these guys who are on this Cavs roster, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, down the line, all of those guys have signed contracts thinking, I want to be with LeBron. But Kyrie is still on that contract that he signed thinking that he was going to be the leader, the franchise player. And he has talked about this. He talked about this as recently as the finals 1 month ago, how it was difficult for him to balance wanting to be the central player and playing with an all-time great player. And it appears that at least at this moment, and anybody can change their mind, but at least at this moment, he's decided he wants to do that elsewhere without LeBron.
Brian, LeBron was said to be blindsided and disappointed. My understanding was that LeBron knows all and hears all. So what was that relationship actually like, given this information?
You know, I'm keeping the language just down the middle in that story, Pablo. LeBron was devastated from what I understand. Certainly, they've had their run-ins at times, but he felt an affection and an attachment to Kyrie. Yes, he is only signed for one more year, but he hasn't made up his mind. And Kyrie is signed for 2 more years. Kyrie was in position to have his own choice in 2 years. Really, LeBron thought that they were going to come back together and try to beat the Warriors next year. That's what he's focused on. That's what he's planning on doing. And so playing with LeBron and having LeBron in your franchise presents certain challenges. But almost anybody who's spent time with him would say that all of those challenges are worth it, that the positives outweigh the negatives. And LeBron felt that that was the way with Kyrie. And now he learned, and he learned this several days ago. This wasn't new to him today. But when he found out, he was pretty upset from what I'm told.
What do we translate devastated into,
man,
when it comes to lingo?
Those are some interesting stuff from Brian.
See,
man.
Brian, he's getting the gospel from LeBron. Okay, LeBron is texting or telling, and that's his guy, and he started covering him when he was a junior in high school, and they're tight, okay? It's a trusted, lack of a better term, and I'm not doubting or questioning Windhorst's journalistic credibility. I'm not. If you got a source like that, great, but he's almost kind of like the dude's publicist. Windhorst will get the news first, the rest of the world follows, and it's accurate. And I don't know that it's filtered, really. It's just the need-to-know basis. I'll tell you what you need to know. But with Kyrie, I mean, the way it's angled right now, to me, is trying to soften the blow of LeBron leaving, trying to get out before the getting in good anymore in Cleveland.
But it sounds like he wants to be the guy, and if LeBron's going to leave, why wouldn't you want to be the guy then?
But if you're going to paint it that way, of course, it makes Kyrie look bad, like he's the egomaniac.
Well, a lot of these guys are.
No, they are. They are, but they also are smart enough to know their place when you're playing with a Hall of Famer. You yourself may be a Hall of Famer, but there's a different level, okay? And you need to...
I don't understand why you would ever not want to play with the best player in the world right now.
Because he's overshadowed.
Does he not remember those days before LeBron was there when he was winning 25 games a season? Like, that wasn't any fun.
I think Kyrie is frustrated with people seeing Cleveland's success solely because of LeBron.
Why didn't Kyrie win more without him? You know, like,
no, but Kyrie's frustration is, listen, man, they don't win the title without me going for 40 plus a couple, three different times against the Warriors 2 years ago, hitting that shot. I think he wants more of the reckoning.
He probably does. But and those guys, like we said, they have an ego. But to me, at that level, it's like, man, what's wrong with being a second banana to maybe possibly the greatest player ever? Like, it's okay to be a little bit in that guy's shadow because he's one of the best, if not the best of all time. It's usually between him and Jordan.
I honestly think when push comes to shove, he's getting out before that place is a 12-win team when they both leave. And from an age standpoint, what's Kyrie, 27?
Ooh, no, like 24, 25, 24, 25. I believe.
Got some mileage on him. He's missed... got the kneecap issue. Go join up. Get out of Dodge.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. It's a Friday edition. We're about ready to say goodnight, goodbye. And do yourself a favor. Check out the Mike Gilbert interview we did on the podcast today. HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. Former OJ agent. Okay, I've got great news. Garth Glissman, the pride of Waverly in Nebraska football and Husker basketball, is in town for Cornhusker State Games hoopage. I am off to McCook tomorrow, post-radio show, to see Grandma and Grandpa, and I'm dragging Junior with me. Go see his great-grandparents, and then it's roll the sleeves up and get ready for football season Monday with Big Ten Media Days. So, excited to see Garth, though, tonight. That's my plans.
Mr. NBA.
Yeah, we're getting locked in. We're going to go to a fine Italian restaurant. It's going to be awesome.
Nice. Very nice.
What are you doing? Are you going to go just hang outside and run in the sprinklers or what?
So, that sounds good. I was handed a ticket to Nickelback tonight.
Was it a joke?
In Omaha. No. They told me I could go.
Who's they?
People from 96.9, Liz and Coryell.
Okay. Are you going with them? Because they're two cool people.
Well, they are cool, but they left at 4:30. The concert starts at 6, so I think that's kind of my dilemma since we go till 6. So,
it's Nickelback. You're doing the world a favor and yourself by not attending.
I know. But that's the thing, though. If you got a free ticket to Nickelback, would you go?
No, hell
plus,
no.
The opener is Daughtry.
Who?
Does that not remember the American Idol winner? He had some hits, man, in the late 2000s.
What you need to do right now, you don't have a lighter, and neither do I.
It's true. I don't smoke.
No, that's good. Back in the day, like every radio dude you ran into, like a 17-pack-a-day smoker.
Well, I could see that.
They just were. It helped their voice.
And they like Nickelback?
No. My point is we could ask them for a lighter to take care of that Nickelback ticket.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm going.
So you wouldn't go for free. All right. I got
no,
you.
No.
All right.
Absolutely not.
I get why people don't like them because all their songs sound the same. But, man, I still like me some Nickelback. It's all right.
TJ, just stop.
Photograph, baby. Saving me.
Well, you're in ahead. Well, you're ahead here. It was disappointing.
Front dime, baby.
All right. Well, you're off to Nickelback.
Yeah.
Just see your home by...
If it was in Lincoln, I'd make it, but... Yeah.
Just see your home by 6:50 tomorrow.
That's right. Well, I'll probably stay and watch the Royals. That sounds good to me as well.
Good.
They're facing their old boy, James Shields, tonight for the Chicago White Sox, so...
Yeah. Well, they've struggled a bit post All-Star break.
Yeah, they lost 7 out of 8. We're only 2 games back, though. And now they're just 1.5 back of the Indians. After winning 2 in a row, they're back to .500. So if they can take care of business against the White Sox, they're back in the thick of things. So the Indians continue to lose. The Twins, though, are right there, too. Twins keep winning. You just saw them.
No, I know. Twins are just kind of weird.
Yeah, we're not really sure how good, like, how they do it.
No, they have two guys in the lineup that can hit. They're lining up. They're, the Yankees, too, are kind of surging, but their bullpen can't throw strikes.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, tomorrow morning, weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio reunites myself, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning. Good stuff. And have an amazing weekend. And we'll get you ready for football. The Hail Varsity's coverage of Big Ten Media Days. So the crew will be full court pressing the McCormick. Take care. Enjoy. Talk to you tomorrow at 7 with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good night.